Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode 46, Tuesday Tales number 6, Insect Plague. If you caught Saturday's Scrawl this past Saturday, you know that I talked about the technical side of the spell Insect Plague and reviewed it over the various versions, and the size and magnitude of it in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons is huge. Today, I want to talk about being on the giving and the receiving end of an insect plague in play. Way back when, I've talked about Griswold before, we had our battle where Griswold struggled to get everybody together and have a force big enough they could hope to face the usurping clan, and we managed to do that and won by the skin of our teeth, and we then, quote-unquote, we're now in control of the kingdom with Griswold's distant cousin, now the new king. But it wasn't that easy. Lord Gordon of the Gordon clan, and as I mentioned in my brother's game, this is basically Scotland transposed into D&D in a sense. So that's where all the clan names came from and other such things. He took the surrounding smaller clans and made a new kingdom. So now there's a civil war on top of having all the orcs and other nasties to deal with. And we decided to finally face them in battle. And we went and had marched over to where they were. They marched out to wherever it was. And we used some revised rules. As I mentioned in the last battle, the rules were brutal. If your unit was wiped out and you were an NPC or player character that had levels, you had to make a death saving throw, and Griswold's father failed his. Griswold, being a cleric fighter magic user, cleric has a really good chance on a death save. He made his save. It wasn't quite that brutal on this one, but we faced up, and Griswold used what magic he had to help with the battle. And as I mentioned on Saturday, in first edition, it takes one turn, or 10 minutes, to cast an insect plague. Well, guess what happened? We had a cleric on the opposing team that was capable of casting that spell. And it broke our lines, because zero-level guys in your army, and anybody less than 3 hit die, just runs away. And if they're less than 5 hit dice, they get a save, but if they save, they just run away. And it's a random direction, so they may not run in the shortest direction to get out. They may run the long way through, and it does 1 hit point per round. And if you're lost and confused and already injured, your unit may not only be broken up, but it may have serious casualties as well. So we'd done them quite a bit of damage. And basically, this was a ruse to soften us up so they could get away. Because with our forces broken up, there wasn't a whole lot we could do. So that was that. The first battle was basically a draw. And we licked our wounds and went back home and had to try to rebuild. And there hasn't been another fight, at least, that Griswold under my control was involved in. I don't know if my brother's done any more of the Civil War in-game or not. So yeah, it's not fun to be on the receiving end of that. It will break your army, especially units that are less than 5 hit die. And you don't have a lot of units that have anywhere near 5 hit die. At least not in my brother's game, he didn't. The next time Insect Plague was used, thankfully, Griswold and his allies were on the giving end. And as they say, it's better to give than to receive. We had this situation where Griswold was fighting the orcs in the former Stuart lands and the area that was his historical lands. He liberated and took the town from the orcs that were in there and drove them off. Well, he didn't kill them all. He just did so much damage they decided, well, this guy's nuts. He's not going to quit. And they left rather than stand and fight. So I took control of this town. I fixed it up, improved the defenses, put watchtowers on the ring of hills around it. Basically, it was surrounded by hills with a pass in from the south and a pass through the northwest that led to the north, which was the trade route. The merchants were happy because I wasn't taxing them as heavily as the orcs were to go through there. trade blossomed and so forth and attracted a few farmers, not a lot, so it wasn't like massive growth. And the two biggest orc tribes, I'm trying to remember the names of the orc tribes, anyway, tribe number one and tribe number two decided to gang up on Griswold. Griswold had a crystal ball, that's another story, that he was trying to scan the chief of, I believe it was the Blue Fang that my brother used, names from the first edition Monster Manual under Orc, it lists some tribes, and realized they were on the move coming towards Griswold. Well, Griswold, being a man of action, corralled his henchman Aleem, and they teleported to where the orcs were, invisibly, of course, at night, and they snuck up to within a certain distance of the main camp, and Griswold cast insect plague on that and stirred things up, and he caused other havoc and mayhem while he was there, casting fireball here and there. We had a potion of orc control, so we took control of a bunch of orcs with that and made them run around, causing more havoc. Of course, they were traveling wisely with groups of 10 with enough space between them that I couldn't wipe out more than 10 in a shot with a fireball, because they'd seen what fireball can do. Then, cut to back at Griswold's town and all of his other forces, and the other orc tribe came from the other direction, and the guys on the... He built gate a wall across the two passes with a gate using a wall of stone. He and his henchman Aleem did that. Took a long time, but they did it. And the guys on the wall saw how many orcs were coming and compared to how many there were, and they broke and ran. There was an old orc fort on the other side of the wall across the southern pass. Griswold had his handful of cavalry in there, and they beat feet to the town. Basically, the ones in towers either closed up their towers and hoped for the best, or beat feet trying to get back to town. Well, Griswold couldn't get back right away because of how much time elapsed with Griswold. We had to basically see if his forces could survive long enough for him to get back. Well, the good thing is, he had other henchmen that were not near as tough as his henchman Aleem. Aleem was 10th level, an NPC. His younger brother was following along as an NPC, and he had one of the magic user henchmen of Griswold in his location, which was an old orc warren underground that they'd fortified, and they were under siege, and so they were dealing with what was they could get at. His fighter henchman was 7th level, I think, and had an 8th level magic user in that fortification outside the ring of hills leading to the town, and they were surrounded, so they were doing what they could. And basically the whole thing was trying to take the town and tie up the other forces so they couldn't work together. And they managed to... Griswold had not repaired the entire town, and it was huge, so he was only occupying a small area of it, and they crossed the moat around it in an area where there wasn't a whole lot the forces could do to prevent that. And there was a gatehouse, and they surrounded the gatehouse, and there was another player had a character named Logan, and Logan died, and Logan had hired a bunch of men, and Logan decided he was going to follow Griswold. So Logan's men were holding the gatehouse, and they were surrounded, and it was an incredible battle, and all the archers used up all their arrows trying to stop them because it was long range, and I really shouldn't have done that, but we were trying to do whatever we could to save Logan's men. What few cavalry I had, I sent them out, and this wasn't Griswold doing that. That was his castellan, to try to break the lines, and they almost broke the lines to help rescue Logan's men. But then a few bad die rolls, and they had to beat feet, and what was left of my cavalry just barely made it back. Abernathy of the North, if you've seen that picture I shared on my site and other social media about Abernathy's own mead, he was the inspiration for that mead in that bottle. He was a drunken dwarven thief, and he rode out with the cavalry, and he rode back, and he managed to get his horse to ride straight at the moat and jump it. And the poor horse did it and died, but he managed to grab onto the outer edge of the wall and climb up over the wall to save himself. And as I recall, I think all the rest of the cavalry died because we couldn't open the doors or let orcs into the fortress. And then all of Logan's men were finished. Well, there were other... Griswold had built a temple as part of his deal with his elvish religion, and they sent a ninth level priest and basically a section of the elvish army under the control of that temple to service it. And the priest, being ninth level, had access to fifth level spells and cast insect plague on the orcs that had set up a catapult that were trying to batter down the walls. And so that bought some time, and the elvish forces had several low-level magic users and clerics, and they were casting sleep to interrupt the plans and so forth of the orcs. It was overnight that Griswold had to wait, because I guess he was resting so he could learn teleport, because he didn't want to read teleport out of his spell book to get back, because he had no idea what was going on. So I had to play it like I called it before we switched the scene to the besieged town. And my brother kept teasing me that we're going to find out if this is Isandlwana or Rorke's Drift. And those refer to the Zulu Wars, where at Isandlwana, the Zulus wiped out an entire column of the British Army. And at Rorke's Drift, the famous movie Zulu with Michael Caine, they fought valiantly, and evidently the Zulus respected them and just left. It was a tough fight. Finally, overnight, Griswold was able to come back. He'd used up almost all of his spells fighting the orcs and only took time to memorize and learn teleport and maybe a couple others. So he goes to the wall and he's fighting on the wall, helping clear the wall. The catapult is damaging the walls and it's about to the point where it's about ready to break. And the priest at the temple managed to learn insect plague again, and the range on that is phenomenal. So he targeted the catapult again, and I suggested to my brother, haven't we killed enough of these orcs yet that they at least are going to make a morale check? And he did some calculations, and we'd managed to kill just enough orcs with all the other things that we'd done that they decided they had enough, and they left. And the larger orc tribe at the other end of things, they pulled back without doing a whole lot, and hundreds of dead orcs and dead forces of Griswold, and it was just a mess. And if not for insect plague and the two used by the cleric in the temple, those are the ones that made the difference. The one Griswold used, that dissuaded it, the forces of the larger tribe. So basically the number two orc tribe got mangled, and the number one orc tribe continues to be the number one orc tribe by an even larger margin. And they decided that they'd beat up on me bad enough, I wasn't going to be coming after them anytime soon, so they could continue whatever plans they had going. So insect plague. If you're going to be in a battle, set it up so you can use it. If you're going to get besieged, set it up so you can use it. Because insect plague is about the range of a catapult. A catapult's going to be within the range of that for most people, and it's not too hard to wipe out the crew and drive them away so that they can't use the catapult until the spell goes away, and it lasts well over an hour and a half for a ninth level caster. So it's an awesome, powerful spell. In other versions, it's about the size of a fireball, and in some OSR rule sets, you can actually command this sphere that's basically the size of a fireball to move around the map area. I much prefer to be on the giving end of those spells as a player character. It was tooth and nail. I've got other spells that have been interesting that I'm sure I'll be talking about later, as I mentioned. I didn't have any call-ins this week, so this is going to be... I hope you found this interesting and informative. I'd like to hear about the powerful spells you've seen in use in-game. I find it quite interesting. For me, there's not really a useless spell. It's a spell you haven't thought of a way to use it creatively. And in my experience, at least with Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, I can use just about any spell to help find some small advantage with whatever it is I'm trying to accomplish as a player. So that's it for Tuesday Tales number 6. Thanks for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die on YouTube, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all of my various social media. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing me on my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my growing list of PDFs at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. And if you like what you see, please let me know. And if there's something that doesn't quite suit you, please let me know. Constructive criticism is very important for those of us who publish our own PDFs. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!